Deuteronomy, amen and amen. Well, I do not want to leave her out, and because she definitely is working hard and doing a good job. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'm going to read just two verses here and get started, but we'll be looking at a lot of other verses as we go along. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23, Bible says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. Thank you for your goodness and grace to us. Thank you for meeting with us already, God. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good spirit in Sunday school. Thank you, Father, that you sent some visitors with us, Lord, some family members from afar, God, to just join with us today as we worship you. We thank you for it. God, we just ask you now that, Father, you'd put a hedge about this place, that, Lord, you'd keep the distractions to a minimum, that you'd keep all the cares of this life outside the doors for a little while. God, I pray that you'd help me, God, you'd wash me from any unconfessed sin I might have in my life, that you'd fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd give me an utterance, Father, to be able to deliver the word that you put on my heart for this morning. And God, I do pray that you would bless, guide, and direct, and everything is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says in verse 24 there that our God is a consuming fire. Now, you know, usually when you think of fire, the first thing you think about is, especially if you live in Arizona, is forest fires, wildfires, and the destruction of the fire that it causes. Houses get burned, barns go down, buildings, forests are wiped out, and we think of it as a source of destruction. But boy, if you've ever been camping, you ever been out, fire has a different view to you. It can be a source of comfort. It provides heat on a cold, damp night. It provides light and for you to see what you do, and it also provides protection maybe from the predators that are thereabout. It can also be a source of power. You know, there's they started with an old steam engine. You remember that? And they'd have the guys shoveling coal to keep the fire going. If the fire got going, the water got hot enough, turned to steam, powered the engine. Later they came up with an internal combustion engine, which is basically controlled fire, gasoline, air, and spark, boom, and it's controlled. And even if you've ever ridden in a jet, you know that, boy, when they fire those babies up, there's some power coming on through there, and it's all part of the fire, if you will. And our God is said to be a consuming fire. Now, that shouldn't surprise us, for when we look through the Scripture, we find many uses, times that God uses fire and shows himself to be in the fire. If you remember back in Exodus, on Mount Sinai, he was up on that mountain, and it said, and that mountain was on a fire and on a smoke, and there were thunders and lightnings, and the people were terrified. You find in the Exodus, as they came out, it said that he led them by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by the day. God uses fire over and over again. And I want to bring a message this morning on this thought: a fire is burning. A fire is burning. Look with me, if you will, in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. A fire is burning. God likes to use fire, and he does it over and over again. And we're going to look at five places here today, and I'm going to try to preach fast just so you don't have to stay extra long. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want you to see that there is a fire burning in a bush. It is a fire that God uses to change a man's life. Moses, as you know, was in exile at this point in time. He was out there on the backside of the desert. He had fled into the wilderness. He had been there 40 years of his life. 40 years that I'm sure he viewed as a wasted life. 40 years as a life just living, barely getting on, and not enjoying the things of God. Remember, he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. Remember, he had all of the blessings and the prosperity of the king of Egypt's household. And now he's on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. I'm sure he was thinking that God would never use him again. You remember when he tried to do something, he ended up slaying the Egyptian and burying him in the sand. And when the thing was known, he fled. And now he's out there an outcast. Now he's out there probably feeling like a failure, and that he can never do anything for God, because when he tried, he failed, and God will probably never use him again. And boy, one day God starts a fire in a bush. One day Moses lifts up his eyes, and there's something out of place. There's something different that day. And as he looks up there, he's distracted by the sight. He waits for that fire to burn out, but it doesn't. He decides, I need to investigate this thing, and he draws close, and as he does, God reveals himself to Moses. I believe it is the same today. I believe that God has a plan for every life that's in this room. I believe he's got a purpose for each and every one of his children. That there's none of us just here to breathe and take in air and to consume food and to go day by day with no purpose and no plan. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. I believe that as we may be like Moses, we might think it's over. We might think there's no hope for God to use us. We might think we're too old. We're too weak. We've got too many past failures for God to ever do anything with us. But hey, I'll tell you what, folks, there is a fire burning today, a fire burning that you know about in your soul and in your heart. There's something more to this life than what you've got right now. There's something more for you to do than you're doing right now. You know it. You might not be able to put your finger on it. You might not be able to say exactly what it is, but there's something drawing you. There's something pulling you, just the way that fire pulled Moses up the side of that mountain. It drew him closer to God. There's something burning in your heart. It tells you, I need to draw closer to God. I need to find out what it is that he's dealing with me about. You might even have waited for a while for that fire to burn out. The way Moses stood there and waited for that bush to go out. You keep thinking it's going to go away, but it doesn't go away. It just keeps gnawing. It just keeps burning. It just keeps drawing you closer and closer. Can I encourage you this morning? Draw closer to God. Draw closer to God. He's trying to get your attention. He has something for you to do. That light is a beacon, and it says, come, come to me, come to me. Let me talk to you. Let me deal with you personally so that I can have my will accomplished. I say to you this morning, you need to seek his face. You need to seek his guidance. You need to seek his direction. You need to get into the Savior's presence if you can today. You need to draw nigh and get to that place of holy ground, amen, where God that says, now you've got the world out, now you've got the filth beside and set aside, and now I can do something with you. That bush starts burning, starts drawing you closer. You know what you got to do? You got to go closer to God. I believe every one of us knows exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Something. God keeps dealing with you. Something. There's just that thing that just you can't get rid of. You know it's there. It distracts you, and it should be drawing you closer to God. So God uses a fire in a bush. Maybe a bush is burning in your life today. Maybe something's going on. God's using it. Look with me now in Jeremiah. Let's look at another place. Jeremiah chapter 20. You see a fire's burning in a bush. But that isn't all. Notice here in Jeremiah 20 verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I want to submit to you this morning that there's not only a fire burning in a bush, but there is a fire burning in the bones of a preacher. Jeremiah was weary with his ministry. Every message that God gave him was a negative message. It was a message of destruction. It was a message of devastation. It was a message of sinfulness that was about to be judged. It was a message of their surrender ultimately to a nation that they feared. And boy, the people were rebellious. They hated him. They mocked him. They criticized him. That preacher's just too hard. He's too long. He's too loud. He spits too much. He doesn't use good English. They found everything they could to say about him. They accused him. They said he's not sent by God. They said he is a traitor. He's not qualified. He's not given the messages that God sent him to give. He's working for the enemy. They said everything they could against Jeremiah. They even ended up putting him in prison. And when they put him in prison, you know what it was? A big hole in the ground. And boy, because there were no facilities down there, it says he sunk in the mire. Just a muddy mess down there. And they dropped him down in that pit. They wanted to shut him up. They wanted to kill him, but God wouldn't let them. And then Jeremiah finally gives up. He can't take the pressure. He can't take it. He thinks God has failed him. He said, you've deceived me, God, and I was deceived. I can almost relate to how he must have felt, because sometimes you feel like, God, you said preach this, and I preached it. You said say that, and I said it. You said do this, and I did it. But yet all I see, God, is people hating me and turning away and not listening and forsaking me. God... He says, I will not make mention of him. Verse 9. Now, you know there's a problem. When the prophet, when the preacher no longer wants to mention God. There's a big problem. It's serious when it gets there. It's kind of like a Christian that won't witness. It's like a person that says they're saved but has no desire to go to church anymore. There's something bad wrong with that situation. Amen. And he says, nor speak anymore in his name. You know what he's saying? He's saying, that's it. I'm finished. I'm done. I've spent all I have to spend. I have no more to give God. I'm done. That's it. It's over. But Jeremiah was soon to find out that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, he wanted to quit, but deep inside him, a fire was burning. I'm sure whenever a figure passed along the top, a heathen passed by, he had a desire to try to win him. Whenever a backslidden child of God went by, he had a desire to try to warn him. Hey, you know, when the wicked began to do their thing in front of him, I'm sure something inside caused him to want to cry out and say, "Thus saith the Lord." You see, you can't be quiet when you got a fire burning in your bones. You can't be quiet when you've got a message from God. You've got to speak up. You've got to say something. You can try to quit, but you can't quit. You can try to shut up, but you can't shut up. You can try to tone it down, but you can't tone it down. You see, a fire burns in the bones. Something about it won't let him quit, won't let him hold back, won't let him compromise the message of God. Jeremiah found out he had a burning in the bones. I would say to you today that God's children need to find that fire. Oh, you say, but the world don't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it in Jeremiah's day. You say the message isn't popular. Neither was his. You say, but oh boy, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere. Hey, it might not, but thus saith the Lord is still thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Deliver the message. God said whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they will know that there hath been a prophet among them. Whether they listen, whether they don't. In Isaiah's time, he said, you go. He said, now I'm going to tell you, you're going to preach, and they're not going to listen, and they're not going to repent, and they're not going to accept the message. He knew it. He knew it. But that was his ministry. A fire in the bones. There's a fire in a bush. A fire's burning. It'll change a man's life. There's a fire in the bones. His word should be shut up in my bones. A burning in there that just can't be kept down. It cannot be stayed. Notice, if you will, Daniel chapter 3. Another fire here. Another fire in Daniel chapter 3. There's a fire in Babylon. Daniel chapter 3. Notice, if you will, verse 13. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I tell you today, there's a fire burning in a bush that'll change a man's life. There's a fire burning in the bones of a preacher of the word of God that will not let him shut up. But there is a fire burning in Babylon that is meant to ultimately test the child of God, test the believer. That fire is meant to shut your mouth, to quiet you, to silence you. Babylon in the Bible is a type of the world. It is anti-God. If you look there in verse 15, he says, "Who is that God that's able to deliver you?" You know what he's doing? He's shaking his fist at God Almighty. He's saying, there is no God that can deliver out of my hands. Anti-God. He imposes a punishment for following God. You see what's coming this way, my friend? There's what's coming this way. You won't be able to pray in public anymore. Well, gee, that's nothing new. They did that back in Daniel's day. They said, if you're going to make a petition, you better make it to the king here. You better not be praying to any god. And they said, there won't be any proselytizing going on. You can't be handing out those gospel tracts and preaching on the street any longer around here. And oh, you better be careful about trying to evangelize them sinners. You better be careful about doing that stuff. You better we're gonna judge you. You're gonna be, hate crime is coming. You're gonna be going to jail. You see, the world will always try to stop the Christian from doing right. The world will always try to stop the children of God from standing up for God. They will try you sooner or later. Peter said that trial's coming. That trial by fire will be in your life. Isn't it interesting that Peter was the one that wrote those words? He knew something about a fire, didn't he? When he should have been standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, he was over with the enemies around the fire. When he should have been testifying to the righteousness of the Lord, he was over there denying that he ever knew him, warming himself by the fire. You see, there's a fire in Babylon. It's meant to silence the Christian. Peter knew what it was like. Boy, you find this thing, it warns the believer. It says, keep silent, don't witness, don't make a scene about God or your faith. Don't bring your Bible to work. Don't you put a little sticker on your car and park in our parking lot. Don't you. Well, listen, my wife and I lived one time in a subdivision, and we put out a scripture sign in our front yard. And apparently, I don't know what I had down the street, but that guy didn't like that sign. That sign was something about, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God, I think. It said something like that. It had hell on it. And man, that guy came, knocked on my door, and he's got the codes and the covenants of the subdivision in his hand. He said, don't you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I flipped to the back page, and they were never signed or stamped. And I said, well, those aren't worth the paper they're written on. You know that, and I know that. And he looked at me and went, well, you can't have that sign. You got to get rid of that sign. I said, all right, when the neighbor gets rid of the for sale sign out of his front yard, come and see me. And he goes, well, we can't. That's different. I said, not to me, it isn't. And man, he walked out, stormed out of that house. You say, what'd you do? Left the sign up. What happened? He stole it. I put another one up. You say, why? You're not going to silence me. I'm sorry. You say, well, I'll throw you in jail. Then I'll preach to the inmates. Amen. Not going to silence me. I'm sorry. I'll speak up to the judge. I'm going to tell you what I believe is the truth and I know to be right in the sight of God. But boy, I'll tell you, the day's coming. They're going to say, be quiet. You see, that fire will either cause you to compromise or it'll cause you to be committed to the cause of Christ, one or the other. That's what that fire brings. It doesn't bring comfort to the Christian. It brings comfort to the backslider. That fire will bring warmth to them. It'll bring acceptance by an ungodly crowd. Boy, after the test, after they try you, after they see if you'll deny your God, like Peter did that night at the fire, they accepted him after he began to curse and swear and say, I know not the man. They pushed him to a point. And he went past that point and compromised what he believed. It'll bring compromise or it'll bring commitment. It'll bring you that comfort if you're backslidden. But let me warn you, this fire is inevitable. How you handle it will be based upon your faith in God. The Hebrew boys there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said this. They said, we believe in God. We will obey our God. Well, we will not deny God. They said, listen, King, you can do what you want. You can burn that fire hot. You can throw us in if you want. But you be it known unto you that we will not bow down. We will not worship your God. And if our God chooses, he can deliver us. And if he chooses not to, that's fine with us. We're sticking with our God. Amen. Boy, old Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. Though all forsake, I'll never deny you. I'll never quit. I'll never go astray. But when he faced the fire, he said, I know not the man. I know not the man. You better make up your minds today to stand firm in your faith when you face this fire. There's a fire burning in Babylon. Well, if you're not paying attention, it'll catch you by surprise, but it's coming. The fire's burning. The trial's coming. The testing's going to be in front of you before you know it. You better make preparation for it. Maybe that burning in the bush is all about this fire you're going to face in Babylon. Maybe that burning in the bones is what's going to get you through this time of testing when the fire in Babylon gets kindled. But boy, God will use a fire. There's a bush burning. There's a fire in the bones of a true Bible-believing preacher of the gospel. There's a fire burning in Babylon. I want you to see another one. Look over in Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24. You know the scene here. The Lord has been risen from the dead now. And of course, he appeared to some of the women at the tomb, and they ran and told the 11, and they didn't believe them. They thought their words seemed as idle tales. And boy, now the Lord's appearing to a couple as they walk on the road to Emmaus in verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? There's a burning in the bosom when God speaks to the believer. It is a fire that God uses to stir our hearts and to get us moving. Notice it said there that in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know, the Lord said in Jeremiah, Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? It's a fire. It burns. It kindles. It begins to do something in the heart of a believer. I would say to you here this morning that maybe somewhere in this message you began to feel something inside. Somewhere in this message, maybe it was about the bush, maybe it was about the bones, I don't know, maybe it's about the fire in Babylon, I don't know, but somewhere the Spirit of God began to prick your heart, began to touch your heart, conviction began to come. Something got stirred within you, and I believe that's what they're talking about. I believe it is the same thing that they had in Acts 2 when they said, and they were pricked in their hearts and said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Something about the Word of God causes a burning, causes a sensation down inside. It is conviction that comes and it says, Listen, you need to do something. Motivates them. You know, during the invitation, oftentimes the heart burns, knowing that God has spoken. You're compelled to come, compelled to do something about it. How long can you carry the burden? How long can you carry the fire burning? Before long, we've said this before, you know, we take the kids, when we had kids, we'd all go to youth camp, those kids would come back, and they'd be all excited. And we'd say, they are on fire for God. What happened? What happened to them? Something got kindled down inside. Decisions were made. Young girls came to the altar and pledged to keep their purity. Young boys did the same. Others came and said, No more will I be spotted by the world. I just want to get right with God and stay right with God. What happened there? I believe it's the same thing that happened when these two on the road to Emmaus, they said, Man, something started going on down in here when he opened the scriptures, when he spake to us. Boy, when he began, something happened. And I believe that's what we need today. It is a place where God compels us, motivates us. You know, these two on the road to Damascus, they didn't stop and go, you know, that was good. I'm glad. What a great meeting we had with the Lord. It didn't stop there. Boy, they went back. They found those other apostles and disciples, and they said, man, we met the Lord in the way. We talked with him. How did you know it was him? Oh, we just knew. We just knew. You remember when it was like when you were lost and the conviction of the Holy Spirit came? Boy, began to deal with your heart, and you said, I need to be saved. How did you know that? How did you know it? You just knew it. You knew it was time. You knew it was now. You knew you had to do something. You were motivated. And it is that fire that burns in the bosom. It's not like the Mormons. They got it all wrong. They look at it as assurance that Joseph Smith's the prophet. That ain't it. That ain't it. But boy, if you've been around any length of time under preaching, you know what I'm talking about here. Something happens here because of the scriptures being opened and the word of the Lord proclaimed. These two men, they knew. Look down there in verse number 33 and notice it says, and they rose up the same hour. Well, wait a minute. I thought it was evening. I thought it was time to call it a night. I thought it was their supper and it's bed down. It says they rose up the same hour. They're ready to go. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. They knew it. Something happened. This fire burns. And it's an individual fire. But it can burn in more than one heart at the same time. Sometimes we have invitations and one or two people will come to the altar. Sometimes we'll have invitations and most of the church will come to the altar. You see, it all depends on what God is doing and when he's doing it and your response to it. It's really what it is. It is a burning in the bosom. It is that that only the Lord can do. There's a fire burning in the bush. There's a fire of God that burns in the bones. There's a fire that burns in Babylon that is a fire of testing. There is a fire that burns in the bosom. Isn't it interesting that each fire has a different purpose? That bush was for direction, to find your purpose in life and what it is that God wants you to do. That fire in the bones is a determination to never stop doing what the Lord has given you to do. That fire in Babylon brings a decision. Brings a decision. Will I stand with God and be committed to him, or will I compromise and deny that I know him? That fire in the bosom is a declaration from God of the truth of his word and him speaking to you about something. But I want you to see one more place, Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. A fire is burning. Fire is burning. In Deuteronomy 32 and in verse 22. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22. It says here, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I want you to see this last fire that's burning is below us. The foundations of the mountains. It's going to burn to the lowest hell. It is a fire that God uses in judgment. You back in Numbers 11, you don't have to turn there. It was that fire that consumed the complainers, those in the uttermost parts of the camp. In Psalm 106, it was that fire that was kindled and a flame burned up the wicked, speaking of Dathan and Abiram as they rebelled against Moses. In Matthew 28, the Lord said that they should fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It is that fire. It is that fire that we read about in Luke 16, where that rich man ends up in flames and torments, and Lazarus is over in Abraham's bosom. It is that fire that burns that the Lord warned about in Mark chapter 9, where he said, "It'd be better if thine eye offend thee to pluck it out. It'd be better if thy hand offend thee to cut it off. If thy foot offend thee to cut it off. It'd be better to do that than to go into that fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." It is a place for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There is a fire burning. If you're lost today, you've never been saved, this fire is waiting for you. Now, before that one comes, you'll have the one that burns right here, the one that God says you're lost and you need to be saved, and you better get saved today. That one that's right there speaking in your heart, drawing you to this altar, saying you need to go up there and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to do it today. And if you don't do it, there's another fire burning, and it's a place called hell. It's literal. Literal. I don't doubt it for a moment. It is a fire that you must avoid at all costs. Boy, if just for a moment your eyes could be open to see this fire, if just for a moment you could get a glimpse of hell, you wouldn't sit in your seat. You'd run down to this altar to get saved. You wouldn't just casually witness to your family members. You'd be begging them to get saved. You'd be pleading with them not to go to this fire. There's a fire burning below today. It is the fire of the wrath and anger of Almighty God, waiting for those that reject His Son. Boy, if you think about it, there's literally millions of lost people out there. May I say to you today, if you are saved, don't be lulled to sleep by the world's fire. Babylon's fire is burning, and sometimes you could get comfortable around it. Don't be lulled to sleep. There are many, many people that still have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hear a watered-down version. They hear somebody talk about loving Jesus. They may even think they love Him. But that does not mean that they're truly born again. I know many. My wife and I were raised Roman Catholic. We were raised in a predominantly Catholic town in New York, mostly Italian Catholics, Irish Catholics, devout Catholics. And they'll tell you that they love Jesus, but they don't know Him. They don't know Him. They're not saved. They're not born again. And if they don't get saved, they're going to face this fire. Might be up to us today. Might be a determining factor in just how someone receives or rejects Jesus Christ. It might be us, and it might be whether we've got that fire in our bones, whether we've seen that fire in the bush and responded the right way, whether we've made a commitment when we faced the fire of the world, whether we responded at an invitation when the fire burned in our bosom. All of that made it be determined the factor of whether someone else faces this fire that's burning in hell today. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You for this message. And just pray, Father, that Your Spirit would move in our midst today. God, there's a fire burning. We read that account of that rich man going into hell, and we realize that that thing took place. That story was given, and I believe the account of it. And it's over 2,000 years and that fire's still burning. We read and we go back farther and we go back to that place in Isaiah 14 where he talks about Lucifer being cast down because iniquity was found in him. It says into hell. That fire was burning long, long before our Lord showed up. It is a fire the Lord said He prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a fire that's been burning and burning and burning. And God, may today, as we sit here in quiet of the moment with our heads bowed, no one looking around, Father, maybe there's someone here today that there's a bush burning. They know you want something more from them. They're not quite able to put their finger on it, but it doesn't go away. It stays, continues to burn, continues to draw and entice them towards you. I pray today that they'd make the decision to just get out of their seat, come to this altar, and say, God, what wilt thou have me to do? What is it, Lord, that I need to do to please you and to submit to your will for my life? Maybe there's one here today maybe there's one of these young men here today, God, that there's a fire in their bones that you're calling them to preach, but they don't see it yet. They don't know it, but they know something. Maybe just deal with them today. God, maybe there's something. Maybe there's a world's fire of testing in our life. God, if that's the case and somebody's facing that fire and they feel they're getting a little too comfortable around it, then God, may they come and say, Lord, help me to stand on your side. Be on your side, God. Help me never to deny you. Help me never to compromise. Oh God, may you help us respond today in a way that's pleasing to you.